Autobots, roll out! End of line.
This sounds pretty heavy. Wait, that has nothing to do with it.
I am the Knight Industries 2000.
Dead or alive, you are coming with me.
Hasta la vista, baby.
I'm Batman.
Oh my god, welcome back. It has been a while, people. Been a while. Welcome back to Vintage Geeks. I'm David.
I'm Joe.
And sir, we have had a bit of a break. We're gonna do a whole thing about The Boys when we finish that and shit, but we're just fucking busy. Shit happens, you know. Yeah. Life, you know.
What I've learned, obviously, over the last number of months. No matter what kind of problem you have anywhere, like if the mail doesn't come or this something happens with your car, the answer is COVID. the answer to everything, any problem, like, hey man, why didn't my thing come in? It's COVID. Delivery, yeah. COVID. So everything's COVID. Yeah. So.
Yeah, we'll blame it on COVID. I have no problem with that.
It is what it is. So, we watched a ton of stuff since last time.
Well, we kind of had to. We wrapped a lot of shit up. We were like, what, about halfway through The Boys or more, just a little bit over half the way through Boys last time we recorded. And it's like, you know, fuck.
That's right. We hadn't finished Ted Lasso at the time, right?
Nope.
Yeah.
Of which, I gotta say, I gotta toot my own horn. So, like, I got done watching that, and I fucking love that show. I'm not even kidding when I say I've watched that show through from beginning to end 7 times.
Wow.
And I fucking love it more and more every time I watch it. The jokes don't get old. They don't get stale. The story still, like, I still find myself rooting for shit to happen in that, knowing the outcomes of things. It is easily my favorite show of the year by a fucking country mile. Like, I completely fell in love with that show, which is, I mean, honestly, out of all the shows that we watch, is that the show you pick for me going, he's going to fucking love that show?
Right. No. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. But no, I don't know, man. I ended up loving that show. But I wrote like a pretty long review for PCL and sent it over to Brian and posted on Twitter, and fucking Jason Sudeikis, like, it's not whether he read it or not, fucking knows. But the fact that he liked my tweet and the fact that I wrote the review for Ted Lasso made me fucking smile. I was proud as shit. I'm like, fuck yeah.
That's awesome. I mean, I only get berated by Rob Liefeld on Twitter. I kind of stay away from that. Anybody goes to my Twitter, it's barely anything. I think I tweeted recently to try and win that PCL Crash Bandicoot game. That's about it.
I think the one I did was the Tony Hawk Pro Skater one. Oh, yeah. I wanted that one. But yeah.
So when we were talking right beforehand, one of the reasons I haven't like finished up a few things, so I've been playing, I've been just on a PS4 kick, you know, Last of Us 2, and then I replayed the Last of Us Remastered on the PS4, then I replayed Uncharted, you know, the last Uncharted game, and then I was going to go back into Arkham Origins, but I ended up getting Ghost of Tsushima.
Yeah.
What an amazing game. I'm probably 20 hours into it and I haven't scratched the surface. It's number one. It's the story and with the feudal Japan and the samurai and everything is amazing. The visuals and the colors, it's like you're watching a watercolor, that, you know, like with the sky and leaves and but in the combat is, you know, with the swordplay is amazing, and the boss fights are amazing, and just all, there's so much stuff to do. There's so many side quests and mini quests, and I mean, it's this could be the greatest game I've ever played.
Wow.
It's been, and I'm a, you know, I've played every Tomb Raider game, every Uncharted game, The Last of Us 2, I played twice back to back, cuz it was so good. But this is, it's, there's such a storytelling with it, and it's just, it's so, it's epic, you know, and the music and just little things that, you know, like you're, yeah, you know, when you're walking through a field, his hand brushes the wheat and things, you know, just little, I like little stuff like that, how the rain comes off rooftops, you know, and that's what The Last of Us really pioneered all that stuff. Just the insane, you can go on YouTube and find videos of, you know, insane details you missed in Last of Us 2. And it's just with the care that these guys do it. And so literally, David, like if I wake up at like 5 or 5:30, I yep. play for 2 hours, you know, and then get ready. It's and then I'll play it, you know, if I get home and get my stuff done early afternoon, I'll play it at, you know, 4 o'clock until 6 o'clock, you know, and then I'll try and play it after dinner until she says, can you turn this damn game off? Yeah, let's watch the show. So yeah. Yeah. A ton of like customization just, with, you know, your outfits and headband and face, you know, face mask or whatever. It's just it's a really amazing game. So that's taken up just a shit ton of my time.
When did that just must have come out?
That came out a few months ago, like 3 months ago. I don't care what it is. I don't pay $60 for a game.
Yeah.
I got this one for $40. So it's really, really, really cool game.
Yeah, then that may have to be a Black Friday purchase for sure.
Oh, 100%. 100%. And then what they did, they had an update this past week, and they added a two-player co-op with missions, and a four-player where you can do raids and you do all this stuff in different maps, all free.
Not
pay anything. Yep. All you got to do is, you know, pay for, like, you know, PlayStation Plus to, you know, for online. But
yeah,
I mean, some of this stuff would be the equivalent of, they could have charged $10 for a DLC or $19 or whatever, all free. So yep. I it's, you know, it's such a rarity now, because, you know, they try and fucking.
Oh yeah.
And what I've noticed when I was looking for this game, I've noticed a lot of people selling that Avengers game. Because I think, and this is what my concern, just watching the gameplay, I'm like, man, that's very repetitive. Like,
yeah,
I see the same thing over and over again.
Yeah, I was watching Hop play it for a while, and I'm like, it feels like a button masher.
And 100%.
He's like, he said it kind of is, and he said that. But the further along that he went into it, it becomes a little more strategic, but. Even then, you still know what that game is. That game ends up, even if it becomes a little more skill with the button pad, it's still pretty much a button masher. Like, there's not that much skill needed to beat it. And it seemed like the cutscenes took forever.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't seem that interesting. And it, to me, I was just like, I don't know. Like, it didn't seem worth the aggravation of waiting for this story to go through to play it. Like, if I got a copy, a friend of mine's supposed to give me his copy. He said he played it through. He said I'd like it and stuff. And I don't know if he knows the level of how much I would like a video game or something. He knows, like, kind of basic stuff. So I don't know. I'm not overly psyched about it. But again, it's that game where I was kind of hyped to play it just to be different characters. And now I'm like, nah, I'd rather play something that's a little more involved. And because, like, right now I'm playing Need for Speed, where it's not a button masher, but you kind of have to think, you have to be able to drive and do the steering wheel and the different cars and all that shit. Like, there's a fine tuning to it. But I like that, like, not having to sit there and wait for a fucking ton of story that just doesn't seem to go anywhere and is kind of mundane. So I think that Avengers game is going to find itself collecting dust real quick.
Well, yeah, and especially from, you know, I guess with certain things are releasing free, but, you know, these, I mean, if you go on a PlayStation store and look at the frickin', the shit, you know, $100, $40 packs, I'm like, come on. You know,
yeah, fuck that.
I don't go for that.
No, me either. Actually, I was talking to me and my wife were watching House Hunters while we were eating dinner tonight. And, you know, it's one of those shows that I can sit there and put on and, like, I'll just critique the idiots who are buying houses because they're all fucking idiots anyways.
Yeah.
This,
did they want an open floor? Did they want an open floor plan? Because that's pretty rare.
This one, this one, they weren't really picky about floor plan. It was a complete difference of opinion on where they wanted to live. Like, she wanted to live in a community where you had an HOA, and he absolutely did not. He wanted to be, like, to have the freedom to express himself outside, whatever the fuck that means. And there's a scene where the first house they looked at, she fell in love with and wanted to buy right away. And he's like, we need to hold on and check a couple more houses out. We're not going to put an offer in on the first house we see. So the next house he absolutely loves, and she likes the house, actually. She really likes the house a lot. But it's not in her ideal location, and she's not overly happy with it. But he doesn't give her a ton of shit. He's just like, I really like that house. They're leaving and everything. Third house, she fucking absolutely falls head over heels for. And she's like, they're walking out to the car after seeing it, and she's like, we need to put an offer in this house right now. And he fucking whips around and looks at her and goes, you need to slow your roll. I'm like, whoa. I told my wife to pause it. I'm like, first off, this idiot's on TV, you know, cable TV. And I'm like, a channel that people watch all the fucking time. Everyone knows House Hunters. I don't give a fuck who you are.
Yeah.
You know what House Hunters is. You just made yourself look like a fucking complete asshole. I go, but the real thing is they're missing out on the follow-up shows of these, where, like, this couple's now getting a divorce and what they have to do to get rid of the house and, like, the whole trauma from falling out from buying this house and going through this whole stressful situation. I'm like, I would watch that in a heartbeat, because, you know, 9 out of 10 of these fucking married couples are getting divorced just because of this process alone. Oh my God, it was fucking killing me. I'm just like, how could you ever do that to yourself? Why would you ever do that? Like, I get going through and wanting to find the perfect house, but to have your camera crew there, a camera crew following you while you're trying to, like, sound, like, logical and smart about these decisions. Like, this chick was even, there's a point, the house that they looked at that she didn't like, which they ended up picking, by the way. She wasn't a fan of the cupboards. And the cupboards weren't bad. That's the other thing. Like, this is how annoying fucking people get. Like, it was the cheapest of all three houses. And then she's the few things that they would have had to do wouldn't have cost anywhere near what they would have paid for one of the other two houses. And it would have added value and all this shit. And she's just fucking complaining and complaining. The cupboards were almost the same in every room. The bathroom cupboards kind of matched the kitchen cupboards and shit. Uh-huh. Didn't like them. And she like looked underneath and it was a, you know, movable shelf in there. And she's like, what is this? It's not even in there right. And she's like flopping around. I'm like, bitch, that is a movable shelf so that if that's not what you need for space, you can adjust it to fit your fucking needs, you retard. I'm like, this is why people should not go on these shows, just because they look like assholes, like complete and utter assholes. Well,
from what I understand, like they, again, nothing is reality TV, that they've already bought the house that they decide on, because yes. There's no way you could time all this with cameras and going to these homes, and you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So they end up, you know, finding other homes to whatever. So it's all, I mean.
Oh my God. It was fucking crazy though. I'm serious. I really think they should have like, well, we bought this home and it led to our eventual divorce. Our three kids are deciding which parent they want to live with and who is going to get the open floor concept house that they just fucking.
Well, you, I always said, you also over. Notice on all those shows, like the, they're like when they're at the beginning and they're showing the family, no one's ever like, they're like playing frisbee and all this kind of stuff. When you know in real life, the kids have their fucking head glued to their phone, fucking playing yeah. Fortnite and on Instagram. Like we were at dinner. We ate outside at this place. And for an hour straight, these two girls that were like, you know, distance to the right of us, just constantly laughing, giggling about everything. You know, she would look at her phone and show the other mm-hmm. person. It was, and I said to my son, and I made it sure I was loud enough. I'm like, nothing is that funny for that long. You know?
No. 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 Yeah. Oh my God. Those shows are killing me. But yeah.
Oh. And my budget is $1 million.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm like a, I work at a candy shop part-time, and I am a social worker for mistreated dogs.
I weave baskets with rhinestones.
And I weave baskets in the part-time, and, like, our budget is $1.5 million. And, like, I'm, like, sitting there going, you fucking people, there's no way you can afford that goddamn house. And then they're, like, I'm sitting there going, my house wasn't that expensive, and it's not laid out the best. But, like, my house has pretty much what you want. It has two full baths, has three bedrooms, living room, dining room, kitchen, downstairs, finished basement, garage, all this shit, right? $150,000. I think we ended up paying less for that up here, which isn't bad. And people are looking at houses half my size for, like, $450,000 to like $700,000. I'm like, I wouldn't fucking live there if you paid me. Like, the fuck? Get out of here.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's get into some of the good shit that we have watched. For those of you who are new and don't know, we have a rating system, which we used to have another podcast that we carried over from. And that is, if we love something, it is a Jedi. If we like something, it's okay. It's not great. It's not bad. It's a Padawan. And if we just fucking absolutely hate it, it's a Jar Jar. So now that you're caught up to that, I am going to talk a little Ted Lasso because
yeah,
we didn't finish it when we had, I don't know what episode we had gotten up to. When we talked about it, but everything that show was, as predictable and cliche as things were, it kind of took you on a journey where it didn't necessarily go the way you wanted it to, but it did at the same time. Like it was. Oh, and we spoil the shit out of anything. So if you haven't seen it and you don't want to know, probably skip ahead because we tend to spoil shit because if you haven't watched it, that's your own fucking fault. Shouldn't be listening to a podcast about shit that we talk about and not have to seen it. So towards the end of the season, you know, they're fighting to stay so that they don't get relegated down to the championship league. And like all the dialogue's super smart. And the journey that Rebecca goes on as owner from being the fucking vindictive ex-wife who just wants to destroy the team to someone who actually cares about the players and the team and the people around her, like the fucking dogs who decide to lose their fucking mind out of nowhere. The growth of every character in there, like there's not a single character that doesn't have some kind of good growth and art to them. All of it super funny. It was the fact that they did end up getting regulated and he comes in and gives his resignation and she won't accept it and then gets to the point where he throws in the fucking, you know, we lifted this from fucking yapping dogs. We lifted this, the premise of this basically from Major League. We're going to end it with kind of a Major League thing where he's like, well, I guess what we're going to have to do is just win the whole fucking thing, where Ted hasn't sworn the whole fucking series. And the last thing he steals the line from Major League, which I loved. I was like, oh my God. But then they cap it off with playing the opera singers from fucking Bull Durham too. Mm-hmm. The scene where she like ties up Nuke and makes him listen to opera all night. Like there's just subtle shit throughout that entire series that I absolutely love that you may or may not have caught depending on how deep your knowledge goes. But fucking super smartly written fucking... Yeah, that sounded great. Real good English there. Super smartly. so well acted. Like the emotional roller coasters that these people went on. Like when Ted's going through his divorce and the panic attack. Like that.
Yes, that was that was a really, really good episode. Like and good portrayal. Good portrayal of like somebody like anxiety and everything come crashing down at like an inopportune moment. So,
but like all, like every character had that kind of moment, like Beard and Nate really didn't have those moments, but they all had kind of like moments where, well, even Beard kind of had that where he fucking flipped out on Ted in the bar and he hooks up with his girlfriend, like all those little things. But like Rebecca to me was one of the best arcs and I think I related to her the most. I think she was actually probably the heart of, and you know, the motivating factor of this whole story where you get invested in her. And by the end of the show, you're in her shoes. Like the entire time I get why she wanted to do what she wanted to do. Like it made sense. It didn't feel like it was just a vindictive, oh, I want out of this place. It was, I'm doing this to hurt him because of how badly he hurt me. So you realize her why she's doing it isn't just vindictive to the team and the people, it's really just vindictive to her ex-husband who deserves it. And at the end of the series where, you know, everyone has talked to her and everything comes out and all of this has happened and her growth as a character was just so amazing. Like I went on that ride with her. It was fucking amazing. So well done. I just so taken with this show. It's ridiculous. And that dart scene, I can't think of a better scene that I've watched in show ever where I was just like, I'm sitting there fucking choking up. Like just when he's talking about going to the bar with his dad playing darts. Like just the fact that he showed up Rupert, I was like loved it. But told kind of the overall story of the show where you don't judge a book by its cover. You take the time to figure someone out because Ted seems simple, there's so much more to him and no one would take the time. The people who do take the time like Ted does end up respecting him and being with him. Like, you could tell that that journey went with Coach Beard, and you saw the journey go with Roy and Nate. Like, everyone he touched who got to know Ted for who Ted was, like, that's why that story was relatable. You know they took the time to get to know him, and you realize at that moment that's why you love the show, because even though he seems super optimistic and he seems kind of cheesy, it's fucking genuine, like super genuine. And if you got to know the person, you'd fall in love with him just like we did as viewers. So fucking love that show. Highest of Jedis. That is a motherfucking Jedi all day long.
Oh, yeah. It's, I mean, like you said, I think everybody has an amazing character arc. It's warm, it's touching, it's funny. They don't try and the humor is secondary to, you know, the story that they're trying to tell. And you know, it's they always, every episode's got, you know, something for the heart, you know, type thing. Mm-hmm. That's the main that's like the nucleus of every episode. It's not to just do, you know, some comedy and that kind of thing. And the way the comedy is in there, you know, with Roy or with Coach Lasso or with, you know, Keeley or whatever, it's so natural to the character. It's so well done. It's like, yeah, this is like out of nowhere good.
Yeah.
And it's the, again, I know that we say this for a lot of different shows, it's the best show that no one knows about.
Yeah.
You know, and like, nobody that's not watching, because it's on Apple TV, which, you know, how many people have, and they don't, it's not advertised.
Yeah.
So this is going to have the Schitt's Creek type thing where it's going to slowly gain steam and more people talk about it. It's going to be one of those shows.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, I actually think Keeley was one of the most underrated people in that show. I think she had some of the funniest lines. It, like, when she's talking to Rebecca when they're going to Liverpool, and she's like, oh, if I was going to dip my lady toe back, or, you know, my toe back in the lady pool, it was definitely going to be with you. Like, the shit she would just come out of seemed so naturally funny. Like, it felt like her. Like, it wasn't a shtick. It was the way you want someone to act. It was just funny as fuck. Oh my God, dude, she killed me. I the women in that show were funnier than the men in that show and did a better job acting than the men in that show. And that's not to say that the men did bad. The men did fucking fantastic. I just, again, fun, by far and away, I can't think of anything that will touch this as my show for the year. Like, Mandalorian season 2 may have a chance, but there's something to be said for the fact that I enjoyed rewatching this show no less than 7 times at this point. Like, that's like, granted, that's like, what, it's 10 episodes, half an hour each, not even, so it's like 4 hours tops. You can fucking knock it out no problem, but it's so easy to get through, and even just having it on in the background, you'll still crack up. Like, the when he's talking about meeting the milk sisters and he starts going on his milk puns, and he's like, and he gets to that point, he goes, yeah, that wasn't even my breast milk pun. And like, and Rupert comes up and he's like, oh, I'm sorry, the milk sisters won't be joining us today. And he's like, oh no, did they expire? I fucking die every fucking time. Like,
how much of the team they own? Oh, I was hoping it was 2%. So we could.
I'm just going to round that down to 2% so I can call them the 2% milk sisters. Oh my God. I'm telling you, it's a show that doesn't lose its appeal. No matter, you can watch this over and over and you'll never get sick of it. It's fucking fantastic. Can't recommend it high enough. And I suppose while we're at it, we gotta finish up the Boys season. again, okay, I'm going to let you go on this first.
So when the season started, I wasn't on the first couple episodes. I was like, I don't know if I like where this is going, but, you know, as we got into episode 3, 4 and all that, I was that my mind, everything, my fears were gone with that. And, I really liked the way that they handled the kid, his wife, Stormfront, you know, Huey and Starlight, even the stuff with Butcher and his family and everything. We had a bunch of different surprises in this series. You know, the episode with the heads popping, you know, in during that hearing, the just everything with you know, with Homelander, and then the reveal, you know, with Stormfront, which got closer to, I guess, its comics, you know, type origin with it. Mm-hmm. And then you had the, you know, the girl fight, and I think it's probably just, and I love season one. I think season one is brilliant in so many different ways. But the only thing I didn't care for this season, and we'll see if it has, you know, what's going to happen in season three, was the stuff with like the Deep.
Yeah.
You know, with the church stuff and with A-Train. I mean, it was, I don't know, but I really liked the twist at the end. I really, I was shocked about, you know, of what happened to, you know, what his son and not his son, her son, and, you know, him unleashing his power and accidentally killing her. Mm-hmm. So, which kind of shows he, you know, he's the first superhero born with powers without V. Yeah. So yeah. So he's got to be the, you know, my gut is he is more powerful than Homelander, which is why what happened and to Stormfront, you know.
Yeah.
Just this is a show that I wish they would have like 2 or 3 more episodes. You know, we always complain about too many episodes, man. Like I think like, you know, 10 or 12 episodes would be perfect for this show. It just feels like it was so short. It went so fast, but I loved it. I love all of it. There, NECA is supposed to be making a Homeland action figure. I am getting that. Anthony Starr is just, you know, that end scene where he's talking to the crowd and he's saying we're your heroes and it's closing in on his eyes.
Mm-hmm.
The intensity in his acting is just amazing. I mean, he was great on Banshee on Cinemax.
Yeah.
And this is just a whole other level. So, I mean, I love the show. I love all the characters. And we got to wait another fucking year now.
Yeah. Yeah. I started off the same as you. The first two episodes were kind of like, eh.
Okay, where's it going? Like, where's it going? Right. I mean, you know, we know how the last season ended. Like, where is it going this season?
Right. And it, by the third episode, it picked up and it stayed the course. I don't know that I liked it as much as the first season. I think as deplorable as the characters were this season, I still don't think it touched as deplorable because I think Homelander and the Deep, like it felt like they were trying to clean up the Seven image a little bit. Meanwhile, it's still kind of in the background with Stormfront being is super racist and Homelander kind of following in her footsteps and like buying into this fucking white nationalist kind of agenda. But part of me felt like it was more of a commentary on society as opposed to a commentary on the disgustingness of everything. Because, like, everything in the first season was just fucking deplorable. From, yes. You know, it was like the Deep was a fucking complete racist, and fucking A-Train was just insensitive and non-caring and what, like, and as Homelander was just fucking psychotic, and like everyone had these like super major faults, and then those faults, they kind of took them away and then just focused on the one aspect of them being kind of, well, let's mirror America's politics and let's see how close we can get to that without like or skirting over. I think once you make those characters less deplorable in all the ways, it takes away from that story, because I think Homelander could have been a bigger fucking asshole in the end. Because even at the end of the season, it's back to where they're not known for being so deplorable. You're back to that squeaky clean image and the seven having to kind of clean up their act. So it's not quite as disgusting. Not that I think the disgusting sells on it, but I think that's where what took me so much with the first season was that these fucking superheroes are so despicable and there's so much wrong with them that you want them to get their comeuppance. And in the second season, it comes down to, well, you kind of really just want Stormfront to get her comeuppance because she's kind of leading everyone on this like rabbit hole of fucking racism and dragging people down with her, and Homelander just kind of following like a puppy. Like, I don't know. I didn't dig it as much as the first season. Not to say I didn't like it, because I loved it. I think it was an incredible season. It wasn't where I thought it was going to go. I will say that fucking chick fight scene between fucking Maeve and Starlight and the female and Stormfront was how you do a woman superhero fight that like Endgame tried to pull off. That's my alarm for shit. It felt more natural, and I actually liked that fight better. Like I think it was better. It was done better all around, filmed and just everything about it. I just really enjoyed. Overall, the season gets a Jedi by like a long shot. Like, it's amazing. It was so much fun, but I still think I like season one better.
Yeah. Season one's is more complete, beginning to end, and you know, the I remember watching it the first time that the airplane scene. Mm-hmm. I was like, fuck, man, are you kidding me? Like, that was like the, you know, if superheroes were at, you know, had real personal faults, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it was exactly. Like,
and you know, oh gosh. So, and I'm glad that still got tied into season two. So
yeah, I'm glad they ended up using it. I kind of like the redemption arc for the Maeve character a little bit. I still think, because I don't think you could. I think she was kind of there at put in that spot. So it was kind of nice to see her get a little bit of redemption and feel like she's made up for her past a little bit. But again, I really like the fact that I like the fact in the first season that these people, they should have stayed deplorable. Maeve not so much. Like, maybe not every character stayed deplorable, but like the fact that you're kind of writing a redemption arc for Deep and A-Train and Maeve and Black Noir just kind of doesn't have an arc. All he's used as this kind of muscle, which I actually found out who he's actually supposed to be from the comics, is he's a clone of Homelander. So, yeah, like, Black Noir, like, to me, once I knew that going into this season and, like, seeing the way he was used, I didn't really jive for me. Like, he was definitely supposed to be the Batman character, but knowing that he was kind of a, you know, a Homelander twin or clone kind of thing made me think that that character could have been something way cooler than it was in this season. So I actually talked to Dan West because I was trying to get him on to review The Boys with us, and he was like, yeah, I couldn't get through season one because of how drastically they changed the story from the comic, and it really turned me off to it. So I can see how that can happen, because I think some of the characters and their arcs in the comic books would have been translated really well into a show like this, and they just didn't really do it. But not to say that they didn't do a great job, because again, it's a fucking incredible show. I had a great time watching it. And Anthony Starr is fucking brilliant. Like, just that dude, there's no joke in that guy's acting abilities. Like, that guy, so expressive in just his eyes alone. You're right. When they were panning in on him on that final scene, and that you're seeing the eyes, and it's just fucking quivering. Like, you can tell he has such a problem with it. It's fucking amazing. Such a great job. And I really thought that the way that they left it was interesting. Like, they kind of wrapped that all up, and now you're kind of dealing with the threat from within. The, you know, you kind of do have spies infiltrating the U.S. government and soups in general. So that was kind of interesting to me, the way they left it off. But I'll be interested in seeing where it goes from this point on. It's got me curious, that's for sure.
Yeah, and need more Giancarlo in season three.
Holy shit, that dude is fucking everywhere these days. Holy shit.
Because he's awesome.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, when you're awesome, everybody wants you.
That's true. Like, I'm super stoked for Mandalorian season two. I, again, now that we're in the age of kind of fending for ourselves and looking for shit to watch, none of the shows that my wife is regularly into are coming back until, like, probably next month or something like that. So we've had a lot of downtime to find shit to watch. So I got her into The Boys. Knowing that season two was coming out, I watched Mandalorian with her. So I did my rewatch of Mandalorian before this season. And I'm still amazed at how good that fucking show really is. I caught myself fucking, like, throwing it on, thinking that'll be something that she can watch, and I'll just play games through while it's on, and what I'll be here to answer her questions and shit like that. And I found myself more times than not without my phone in my hand, just pulled into that. And, like, I was, like, schooling her because I watched that documentary, you know, the whole behind the scenes stuff. And I'm like, yeah, that all that shit is like green screen, basically. Like, it's a movable camera thing, that none of that is real. She's like, get the fuck out of here. I'm like, yeah, it's not like green screen. It's just like a video wall, and everything's projected behind it. She goes, but it looks so fucking real. I go, I know, it's ridiculous, isn't it? But, yeah, I am super psyched for Mandalorian season two. I can't wait for them to bring in fucking Jedis and Ahsoka and fucking what that's gonna entail. Like, it almost sounds like we're getting a, like, an old school Mandalorian fucking Jedi battle. Like, it's going to be Mandalorians versus Jedi again. I'm fucking so down for it. I can't wait. It just looks so good. And I'm so glad I rewatched season one. Everyone do yourself a favor and just fucking watch it. I'm telling you, it's an easy watch. It's an easy watch to get everyone into. I got a new vehicle like a month or so ago, maybe a little bit more. But seeing as how I'm not home, my wife has taken over my vehicle, but I'm still trying to make it mine. She thinks it's quite funny that my Jeep has now become hers. So, like, we were at, the fuck were we? I don't remember. I just remember, we were at like a fucking drugstore or something. And I was waiting for a prescription. I'm just wandering around. And they have these two different little Baby Yoda decals for your car. And I'm like, I'm getting one of these motherfuckers. And I'm putting it on my fucking car. So, like, instead of, like, buying both and putting them both on there, like, I decided that I'd be nice and give my wife a choice, because seeing as how she's driving my car, she should have a say as to what I put on my car. And I'm like, which one do you like more? And my daughter picked the one that I didn't quite like. The other one was actually a fairly realistic picture of the child. And I'm like, I kind of want this one. She's like, yeah, I want that one too. So I'm like, perfect. She's like, you're really going to put it on your car? I'm like, yes, I am. Goddamn right. It's my fucking car. So I'm like trying to claim ownership on my car with the Mandalorian. But yeah, just do yourself a favor. That fucking show is so good. Rewatch it before season two. You're not going to be disappointed. So fucking good. What else have I? Well, we started, we're almost through all of Brockmire. I had a friend who kept sending me clips of the first scene of Brockmire where Brock, like, if you don't know, Brockmire is this show about a broadcaster who catches his wife having a orgy at her house where she is the star attraction, and it leads him down this fucking winding hellhole of drugs and alcohol and fucking crazy stories of shit. But he's a baseball broadcaster, and you're introduced to him as he's calling a game, and he just starts talking about the sort of affair of him going home and finding two guys with their cocks and his wife while while he's sitting there stunned. And meanwhile, he's still calling the game. So, like, the pitch is going on. And as he's like, and two cocks at her. Oh, and it's a ball outside. Like, oh, my God, I was dying, dude. I was fucking dying. So he sent me this clip. He's like, this show is hilarious. You got to watch it. And we just finished Mandalorian. The Boys was done. Fucking Ted Lasso had been done. She's like, we got to watch something. I'm like, okay, I'm going to put on this show, and I don't know that you're going to like it, but we have nothing else to watch, so just give it a chance. And I didn't really know what I was getting into. Oh my God, this show is fucking hilarious, dude. I think there's like four seasons, maybe five. I'm not positive. I know we're at four, and I think four was up to last year, so I don't know if they got anything recorded for season five or not. But it is.
It shows just through season four on IMDb. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm telling you, it is raunchy. It's hilarious. There's people in it that you wouldn't expect. Like, fucking Bob Costas is in like a bunch of episodes. Fucking Joe Buck is in a bunch of episodes. It's brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant and funny. And Hank Azaria is so good at this character. He's got a fucking crazy accent. He's got, you know, he's out of control with the drugs. There's nothing he hasn't tried and is still trying. Actually, in this season, I'm not even gonna ruin it. You know what, fuck it, this is a show that I'm not gonna ruin because it is so funny and you kind of have to experience and go for the ride. But it is, if you just want to sit there and fucking laugh your ass off at some of the most inappropriate, crazy, nonsensical shit ever, watch Brockmire. It's a fucking Jedi. It's absolutely amazing and so much fun.
Yeah, I watched maybe all of season one, and it just kind of fell off our radar. I was watching it with my wife, so yeah, and it's raunchy, it's funny. I love listening to Hank Azaria's voice. So.
Yeah. Let's see. The only other thing that you watched Utopia too, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I totally forgot. Fucking watched Utopia as well. Fucking Christ, there was a lot of shit we watched.
Yeah. I watched Utopia over a span of like 4 days. I was like, I saw some other people posting about it, and I'm like, well, let me jump on that. And this, it really surprised the hell out of me. This show, I know it's kind of a hit or miss with certain people, but I thought I loved it because I love the twists and, you know, like people you don't expect to get killed, and the plot of with the graphic novel tying into what's going on in the world, and you know, John Cusack's character, and it's just, yeah, I thought it was, yeah, it was, it's, I don't know how popular it is with anybody, you know, obviously Amazon Prime, but I thought it was a great show. I really liked it. Rainn Wilson, I always, anything with Rainn Wilson, I love. And it kept me guessing a lot of stuff, and that's and I like that.
Yeah, I agree. That first episode was a little iffy. It was funny because I'm like, it was a show that I was going to throw on, and I was just going to be like, yeah, I don't think Shannon's going to like this. But again, there's only so much shit that we have to watch that will kind of entertain both of us, or at least like she'll feel like I'm actually sitting there paying attention with her. Because she can watch a ton of shows and I'll just be like, eh, whatever, I'm in my phone, I don't care, I'm not really paying attention to nothing. So I get kind of weirded out about opening up shows to her because she is kind of picky too. So I put on, I was like, fuck it, everyone's talking about it, I'm just going to see if she wants to watch it. Because we actually, during the week, don't have a problem binging shows. We can go through shit throughout the week pretty easily. So with Utopia, I threw it on, and that first episode we were both kind of like, that was a little rough to get through. Like, she's not about cons and everything else. Yeah. Anyways, and but even that being said, like, to me it just didn't quite catch me, but the ending of the first episode was enough to be like, well, we kind of are interested in seeing what happens. We were a little hooked. We got through the second episode. She looked at me. She goes, it got a lot better. I'm like, yeah, I agree. It definitely picked up, and you felt a little more into the story. It didn't feel so. I think part of the problem in that first episode was that it felt kind of cartoony. The whole con to me just felt cheap, and like, I guess I don't know what I was really expecting. Like, I obviously, they're probably not going to set up a fucking real con, but to me, it just kind of felt like a nudge kind of look at cons, and to me it just didn't do it for me. I don't know, but it got progressively better, and again, it fucking, people die that you don't expect to die. It fucking has great turns, it has great, like, the characters' motives you understand at some points, and then you're like, what the fuck, why are you doing that? But they explain shit. It's done really well. It's actually a really good show. I can't say that this show's for everybody.
No, 100%. You're correct. Yeah.
It's a good show. Like, it's solid. I would give it a high pad one. It's easily watchable, and for us geeks, it hits all the right moments and kind of doesn't make fun of the fandom and the geekdom, but it like kind of like pokes at it a little bit here and there, but at the same time takes shit super seriously and makes it really interesting and worthwhile. So it's pretty good, man. Like, definitely worth a watch, especially in this time of what is there to watch when you're looking for shit to watch. It's an easily digestible show.
Yes.
You have an episode 2 left of Lovecraft Country. I have killed that shit off. I was hoping that everyone, like, in our little chat group, that everyone had finished it, because I finished the last episode and I'm like, I gotta fucking talk to someone about it. And it's not that anything happened where I'm like, holy shit. It's just kind of like that moment where I know a studio took over, and that kind of bothered me a little bit, because the show is so fucking out there. It's a complete science fiction, semi-horror, like cautionary tale. Like, it's incredible. It's impeccably done. It's an incredible story, but it's dark as fuck. There's a lot of real dark overtones, a lot of racist overtones, like even more so than Watchmen, which Watchmen kind of fucking pounded home the racism issue. This one's doing it in spades, for lack of a better term. Like, they're just fucking really fucking pounding shit in, where they're just like, this is, it touches on the society today. In that it's bringing to light what Black people had to go through and are still going through. But when you look back at it, it hasn't gotten much better from the 60s, because the shit that happens to Black people in the 60s still happens today, and even more so when we're supposed to be so involved. It's fucking super dark. Like, you were telling me you woke up at like 5 a.m. and would watch this, and I'm like, man, there's no fucking way I'm watching this show first thing when I wake up. Like, this has got to be a show where I'm like good and high, and I can fucking just like chill out and take it in, because some of this shit is so crazy. And like, and a lot of it's super empowering to like women. Like, it's a super woman empowering show, especially by the end of the last episode, where it kind of takes a journey and flips it on its head. Like, the storyline with Atticus's father, is, you're just like, wait, what the fuck am I watching? Because it takes the real funny part is about Lovecraft is Lovecraft was against everything. He was a fucking racist, hated homosexuals. Like, he's as white human being, Nazi fucking driven person could be. Like, Lovecraft was not a nice person, but he wrote amazing stories. He was just racist as fuck, ignorant as fuck, wanted people to be white, and that was it, and so throwing all this stuff and using kind of Lovecraft as a background is kind of a slap in the face to Lovecraft, which is kind of funny. But it still takes the good parts of Lovecraft, the horror elements, the sci-fi elements, the creatures, the witches, the chaos of just what the universe could be if we lived in this like weird fucking horror world. And really puts him in this show and does a really incredible story. I will say I really like Lovecraft Country. It's a Jedi, but it's not a Jedi in the same way that Watchmen was a Jedi. Like, Lovecraft Country is great. But if I had to compare the two, I'm taking Watchmen over Lovecraft Country. But they're definitely different beings, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, that well, sense. It was funny. I didn't want to jump in and tell you, but, you know, I was watching it when we went to bed. So usually I went to bed, my wife's got her, you know, face in her phone. So I'm watching the one, you know, where he's in Korea. And
oh, Jesus Christ.
So listen. So, yeah. So, and she's in her own world. But then she looks up and, of course, they're fucking. And she's like, what are you watching? And then all of a sudden, all the tentacles come out here. And she's like, what the hell is this? I'm like, I can't explain it. It's like, it's not something I can explain. Yeah. So it's like, I can't watch it first thing in the morning. Can't watch it with her. I'm in this, I guess I need to watch it like during lunch while I'm eating Chick-fil-A or something.
Yeah. Yeah, dude. It's definitely, it's a weird show. It's fucking out there. It's amazingly well done. And they kind of wrap things up real nice. Like the last two episodes were really kind of amazing. The penultimate episode, they go back to a point that Atticus's father dealt with. Actually, it kind of ties it back to the Tulsa.
Okay.
The Black Wall Street, which is it. You're just like, holy shit! This is where, like, you get the kind of the shades of Watchmen. Yeah.
Uh huh.
But that being said, there's another story within that they're telling as well. So it's really good. Really, like, don't let my crazy ramblings dissuade you. It's just a hard show to talk about because you kind of don't want to give shit away. Yeah. And at the same time, there's so much shit going on and so much chaos that it's hard to keep straight. It was funny because, like, in our group, I think it was Dunk that said, you know, I think I'm going to binge it. And I agree. I think it's a super binge-worthy show because it's hard to go week to week and keep everything straight. That being said, I think it's a hard show to binge because it is so fucking heavy and so dark that I don't know that sitting through 8 straight hours of this show or 10 straight hours, how many ever fucking episodes it is going to be is good for anyone's psyche. I forget what show I did that with it was like Game of Thrones, where I fucking binged the shit out of Game of Thrones.
I did too.
And like, you get done and you're just like, I don't know that I'm the same human being that I went into watching this shit than coming out of it. So it's definitely a weird show. I wouldn't say binge it, but you should take it in big chunks and not give yourself a ton of time. Like, don't give yourself a week between when you stop and pick it back up, like maybe a couple days. If you can knock big chunks out that way, it's probably more palatable. But yeah, it's fucking super dark and super weird, and there's just always so much shit going on. But really good. Really, really good. And the only other thing that I really got to talk about is I watched the first episode of season 3 of Star Trek Discovery. Now, I was going to watch episode 2, but I ran out of time today. And I know what my problem is with this fucking show. So I like the story. I like the idea behind it. I think it's fucking super smart. I don't like the chick that plays Michael. For whatever reason, when I watched it the first season, something wasn't adding up. Like, it didn't feel very Star Trek to me. And it wasn't. But there was something beyond that was kind of bothering me. And I didn't watch season 2. I think I caught a few episodes, but didn't follow through on it. And this season, I was like, fuck it. You know what? I know what happens. I know how it ends and where it's going to pick up. And I'm interested in that story. So I watched the first episode and I liked it. I liked the story. I liked where it was going. I liked the idea behind it. I liked the setting. I liked the characters, the aliens they used, everything about the thing that drove me crazy was Michael. I don't like either how she's portrayed or how she's written. To me, she ebbs and flows where she doesn't seem like she has a super strong character, or not character, but super strong, like, emotionally all the time. And then other times she seems like she should be leading all of Starfleet. Like, there's this weird ebb and flow with her where it's just not consistent. And it really takes me out of wanting to root for her. Whereas, like, Patrick Stewart and William Shatner every other captain, every other leader in a Star Trek vehicle has been engaging enough where they keep you grounded and they make you love the direction they're going. And Michael doesn't do that for me. And again, I don't know if it's just the way she's written or if the way she's portrayed, but one of those two things just fucking bothers me and really drags this fucking series down for me. I think other than that, I fucking love this show. I think it's amazing. But I can't fucking stand Michael. I just can't.
Well, I agree with you there. I'm not sold on that, but I've got issues with the I'm such a smart aleck that engineer lady, you know, that older lady who every line has got to be a snarky joke, smart ass thing. Like, okay, give it a rest. The Tilly, doe-eyed person is getting old. It's with that. I mean, the character I like most is I like Saru. I think his
one's that?
That's the Kelpian. And I do like what's her name. Now she's the Mirror Universe Captain Giorgio. I do like that, but I did like the first episode. I did like it had that heart of Star Trek, you know, just about the Federation and the hope of the Federation. The Federation isn't just ships and warp drive and things like that. Yep. So I'm hoping, number one, we've talked about this before. It's movie effects. It's gorgeous show. It is spare no expense, obviously. You could tell they put money into it. It looks great. I did like season two. Maybe that was because Anson Mount and with Pike and all that. So I'm very interested to see now that they're in the future on their own. They can, start doing whatever story arc that they're gonna do in building the Federation. So we'll see. All I know is I still have not paid for CBS All Access in 3 years. I've seen everything. And there was actually a story of a guy. He's like, I have never paid for CBS All Access and neither should you. And it's like, there's a repository of every month when they have free codes, that kind of thing. So I'm like, well, that's what I've been kind of doing. So,
that's fucking great.
I think they start filming the Anson Mount show very soon here. So that's the with the Enterprise with Pike and that. So
the good thing that the thing I'm psyched about is that I know Mark Bernardin wrote on this next upcoming season of Picard. So
I didn't know that.
Yeah, huh. Yeah. If for those of you who don't know, Mark Bernardin does a podcast with Kevin Smith called Fat Man Beyond, and Mark's a Hollywood writer, worked for Hollywood Reporter and stuff. And whenever they have these like brainstorming ideas, he comes up with some amazing stuff where you're just like, holy shit. That is that. And he's written comics before too. He's a huge geek. But his first like internship was on The Next Generation, I think it was. He got like an internship for writing on The Next Generation. And now he got tapped to write for season two of Picard, and I know that their writing room is done basically. Obviously they still got like little shit to do, but the main story's done and all that shit. So really psyched for season two because I know I loved it when he wrote for that Stephen King offshoot show.
I know. I can't think of the name either. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Son of a bitch. Oh my God. Whatever. What the fuck ever. Not that I don't have IMDb or anything in front of me. But that being said, the dude is a super talented writer. It made me very excited for what's coming next in Picard. And I think, like you said, I think this season, this first episode that I watched,
Castle Rock,
thank you.
Ooh, yeah.
This first episode felt more like a Star Trek episode where yes. It was more about exploration and pursuing something grander than just fighting Klingons or fighting this or fighting that. Like it felt more like what Star Trek was about.
Did you see episode two yet or no?
No, not yet. Okay. I'll probably watch it tomorrow.
Episode two, I think it was very paint by numbers. But the last 10 minutes or so is what brought the episode back for me.
Yeah.
I'm interested to see what you think about that episode once you watch it.
Yeah. And actually I watched one other thing. Based on what you said, you were watching The Right Stuff on Disney yeah. Plus. Holy shit, that's fucking good. I never saw the movie.
David.
I'm going to tell you right off. I never watched The Right Stuff because the first time I tried to watch it, I was like 7 or 8. Like I was really young, and it's a super long, it's like a fucking 3+ hour movie.
It's a 3+ hour movie. It's very slow to get going.
Yeah. When I first tried to watch it, being that young, didn't make it, and I never went back to watch it. And I know it's a crying shame. I know it's so fucking good, and I should watch it. I just never went back to it. So that being said.
It's just what a cast. I mean, Sam Shepard and Ed Harris and Dennis Quaid. It's just amazing, just amazing cast. And I like so. And when you watch the movie, the thing that's missing from this is the Chuck Yeager stuff. Yeah. So and that's some great stuff in the movie. But it's funny when you watch the beginning of the show, it's like based on a book, you know, by whatever Tom Wolfe, adapted from a TV the movie. So it's like, you know, the book, the movie, and it's kind of weird, I know, but they're really focusing on the John Glenn Alan Shepard dynamic and getting more, and like you don't get any of the Alan Shepard background about. You don't get the, you don't get a lot of background except for John Glenn's wife with the stuttering in the movie and some of the other things. So you don't get into the, like, the womanizing and all that kind of stuff at all in the movie. So
yeah, I kind of figured that. I think that the show really, like, the show really painted more of a picture of what it was actually like, as opposed to the movie, which I kind of think is the really Hollywooded up, let's not put these guys in a bad light, as opposed to making them the human beings that they actually were. But that being said, I think this show is fucking amazing. I actually worked at a ranch out in Wyoming cooking, and I've cooked for Chuck Yeager before. A bunch of times. So that dude was actually my cousin's idol. Like, that was the dude my cousin fucking looked up to. The fact that that dude broke the sound barrier and, like, just was an amazing human being. So, like, the fact that I got to cook for him, like, to me was one of my best moments as a cook in my life, where I'm just like, oh my God. I never even met the man, but I fucking cooked for him. I actually also cooked for Bodie Miller, the skier. So, like, the two people I was like, holy shit, I've cooked for fucking famous people out in this nowhere fucking ranch in Wyoming. So I love that. But I've always been fascinated with the space program, and especially the early days. But
yeah, me too. That's why I've seen that movie, I don't know, 7-8 times.
Yeah. But to me, I love the slow building of Deke and how he's going to be kind of in, knowing that he's going to be in charge of the command center eventually, and fucking, and, like, knowing that Glenn makes it to space first out of, like, it, all of it, like, and how they act to one another, and that they're not all friendly. It's an amazing show. I'm going to tell you, I actually turned it on while I was watching, because I'm like, oh, fuck it. You know what? It's probably dialogue driven anyways, and I can just listen to it while I'm working. I don't need to watch it. I had to turn it off because it was so fucking gripping. It's amazing. Like, it just draws you in, and you find yourself just staring at really good performances of these people. And one of the reasons is I couldn't figure out where I knew the guy who was playing Hal Shepard. And I'm like, he looks so fucking familiar. Who is this guy? Who is this guy? And then I realized it was the guy from Limitless. The TV show Limitless. And I'm like, oh shit. Okay, that makes sense. But just really, really well done. Really great snapshot behind the hopefully true-ish stories, because it does kind of paint that these guys weren't as perfect. And I love the line, I think it was like in episode 2 or something, where the lady, like, well, they go in with the fake name of Bill someone or other, and she's like, well, there's a lot of you, and you all look the same, too, and they fucking pan around to all the other astronauts, and they do. They all looked fucking exactly the same. The only one who doesn't look anything like the others is Glenn, because he has fucking bleach blonde hair. Like, it was an amazing, like... Look, even as I was watching it and going, all these dudes look alike, like, actor-wise and everything. They all look alike, and they all have, like, the dude who plays Gordo kind of looks like a little bit like Matt Baumer, where I'm like, fuck, he looks familiar. And I realize I have no idea who the fuck that guy was. He just has that look. But all those guys look alike. It's fucking funny. But... really, well, good
you
have show.
To, when you talked to somebody, I forget where, somebody was making a comment about that. I'm like, yeah, they had fucking egos. They're fucking test pilots riding on things that they could blow up at any time. But, you know, they're always by the seat of their pants. So they lived like they worked.
Yeah.
And that was just, you can't, you know, unfortunately, you just can't be some average person and be a test pilot.
No.
That's not the makeup of who that is. So they're going to be very flawed people. That's the big thing, you know, when you watch the movie, it's like when they're going through all the astronaut testing and the media is there and they're like, yeah, we know it's going to be John Glenn. Just let us know, you know, that kind of thing. So it was really right. A shock that Alan Shepard was chosen to be the first person American in space. So,
Yeah, so good shit. That's all I got for shit I've watched, pretty much, I think.
I don't think I mentioned last time, but kind of related to the space stuff. Did you watch Challenger, The Final Flight on Netflix?
I think we watched like one or two episodes, but we didn't finish it.
Yeah,
we started it but didn't finish it because it just didn't grip us.
I watch anything and everything about Challenger because it hit me when I was in high school, and I love the space program. So it's just one of those. It's like 9/11. It's like, you know, a lot of things. It's you always remember that. And mm-hmm. I really liked where they got into some background stuff that from related to the accident that I hadn't heard of, and I really liked where they had. One of the astronauts, the pilot's wife, talking and getting a lot of detail from her. It's just a sad story about how just bureaucracy and
mm-hmm.
just government, how government doesn't work for something like this. That's why I watched some interesting stuff about SpaceX with Elon Musk. You know, of course they're partnered with NASA. But how they're able to do all this stuff because they're unencumbered by all of these just red tape that you have with the government. It's actually like the SpaceX stuff is actually safer, less expensive, and designed quicker than like anything in history. So mm-hmm. it's very interesting to just, you know, to look at the comparison and, you know, everything that they fixed after Challenger, you know, processes, and then they got laxed, and then what happened with, you know, Columbia burning mm-hmm. up on reentry, and then they, you know, again, they do the study and they find out, oh yeah, this was something we knew about, and you know, it could have been addressed. It's just totally, but that's like it's the nature of spaceflight and of exploration. It's just people are going to die. I mean,
yeah,
Gus. I mean, Apollo 1, Gus Grissom, Ed White, who was the first American to spacewalk, and Roger Chaffee. I mean, you know, they fucking were burned alive. Yeah, I mean, like the most horrible death inside a capsule that was bolted shut that there wasn't a way to escape. I mean, it's just. So yeah, see, it's I on one hand I like revisiting stuff like this. On the other hand, it makes me mad and sad and everything. So So anyway, but yeah, definitely finish that. I started back up with The Walking Dead.
Oh, season, you poor bastard!
Season 10. So it's actually pretty good. I'll tell you one thing that they finally got right was, you know, they've got Negan as basically he's kind of if you were in a low security prison, right, yeah. where he's doing, you know, some work for them and, you know, he's in a cell at night, but he's gardening and doing all this kind of stuff. But they finally got Negan / Jeffrey Dean Morgan's comedy or, you know, wit and sarcasm, and they finally got it right. I never liked his Negan character and with the bravado that he had. I never bought it. I never liked it, but they've finally got it right. You know, cause again, they time jumped, you know, it's like 6 years later or 7 years later or something like that.
Yeah.
So, So yeah, so I'm enjoying it. It's, you know, me and my wife used to watch it religiously live. Yeah. That's how into The Walking Dead we were through season four or five.
Yeah.
And then it just fell into the, you know, how many times can you get surprised by zombies? Like if you, when like the first thing you should do when you walk into an abandoned house is bang the walls, you
yeah,
know,
exactly
that kind of stuff. So, but anyway, so did that, this was a while ago, I guess. It was probably right after our last show, because everybody was talking about that My Octopus Teacher on Netflix.
Never watched it. I heard it, about it, but I was like, no.
Yeah.
Done.
It's interesting. It's, I mean, it would be awesome. It's like this guy who has the same routine every day in this like alcove in the ocean, and just befriends this octopus down there. And I was like, man, it'd be nice to be able to spend 3 hours in the ocean every day, right?
Right.
Yeah. And, you know, he free dives down and so it's an interesting show. I'll say that. It's not like it's a Jedi or anything like that. It's something you've never seen before and probably won't see again.
Nice.
And some of them say he's got a really weird relationship with his octopus, especially at the end. So I'll leave it at that.
But, oh, Jesus Christ.
It's just, yeah, I guess he was going through some personal things, and then, you know, this, he like bonded with this octopus, and cause that notoriously don't want anything to do with people. And so that's the interesting part. It's just nature is just fascinating on things like that. So, but, yeah, that's, I mean, other than that, we covered everything that I've seen. Again, I just been playing that Ghost of Tsushima too much.
Yeah. Yeah. I know that feeling. I hate when I get into a game to a point where I'm looking for every free moment I can, like, this, so after work I got done and it was like 4 o'clock, and I'm like, I had already cooked dinner, so everything was all set. I just had to reheat it once Shannon got home, and I'm looking forward to turning on my PlayStation and getting like an hour or so to play Need for Speed. And I'm like, the minute I'm getting ready to go over and turn it on, my phone rings in Shannon, and I'm like sitting there talking to her the entire time going, oh, okay, come on. If I do this, I get at least half an hour. And now if you hang up now, I can get like 15. And I'm like, oh, fuck. So she finally hangs up and I know she's going to the store. And now I'm like, oh, she's going to be home in half an hour. There's no fucking point. I'm so mad. So now I'm like trying to figure out what I have to do tomorrow and how much time I'm going to get into playing the game, because I get so wrapped up and I just want to fucking finish it so I can be done with it.
Oh yeah.
It's fucking obscene how obsessive I get with games like that. Stupid. All right. Well, until next time, we will try not to be gone so long in between episodes. I kind of apologize, but we were both busy and just shit going on and whatever.
COVID, we do it on David, our schedule. David, don't blame COVID.
COVID. It's COVID's fault, God
damn it.
It is
COVID's fault, man.
Yeah.
It's all COVID's fault. It's the fucking people who fucking won't wear a mask.
Yeah.
You know?
No shit.
It's not that fucking hard, dude.
No. Seriously, if one of you fucking people cough on me and you're not wearing a mask, I'm straight up going to punch you. Like, I'm not fucking around anymore.
Oh,
listen
to this, dude. So we were outside, right? And we're eating at this Thai food place. And they have this scale of like one pepper is whatever. And like six is like eye busting, it's called, or whatever. So we're sitting there, and a guy, I don't know, 15 feet away outside, must have thought he could handle it. And and number one, he turned red. But dude, when he starts coughing, you should see the number of people who fucking, they like either turn around or bolt. Like it, the cough is, it's like you have a, it's like you have a visible aura of death around you. Like people are like gone. I'm like, oh yeah. Yeah. Coughing is like, my son said it, what is it? It's like, where the like farting outside, yeah. You know, used to be.
Yeah. It's funny. Cause now I'm just, it, I use the, if I cough, I know I don't have COVID cause I don't go anywhere, but when I do, if I'm out and I cough, I literally will turn around and be like, I smoke pot. Like I literally it's more socially acceptable to turn around and say, I smoke pot. That's why I'm coughing, as opposed it is to be like, I might have COVID, motherfuckers. So I'm like, yeah, it's fucking crazy out there. People wear masks. Just come on. I'm done with, no one wants to be inside anymore. I get it. But the more we fucking just think that we're above it all, the longer this shit's going to go on. Come on. Smarten up.
Smart.
The fuck. I know. I guess. Well, all right. So I didn't, two of the things that I watched that I didn't really bring up is I watched fucking, seeing as how I have HBO Max, why the fuck not? I watched fucking Man of Steel, Batman v Superman and Justice League again. Fuck. I did.
I thought you just watched Batman v Superman recently.
No, maybe. I did watch Justice League again, though,
too. Oh, no, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh. That movie is such a clusterfuck kick to the balls. It's not so, even funny.
It's so bad.
Like, that Whedon cut is so atrociously bad that there's nothing even redeeming about it. Like, that's how bad it is. No one looks happy to be there, especially knowing everything that's gone on now, how much fucking the dude who put, what's his name? Ray Park? Not Ray Park. That's fucking Darth Maul.
Ray Fisher.
How much Ray Fisher had a horrible time doing that. Like, you can see it in everything now. Oh, it's so awful. Oh,
you could tell the ass shots on Gal Gadot. He's just, yeah, you put all of it together. It's like, yeah.
Yeah, it's really bad. It might be the least watchable movie I've seen in ever. I think the first time I watched it, I didn't like it. Like, I kind of thought it was better than Wonder Woman. Yeah, no. And I don't like Wonder Woman. But Justice League is definitely the new low for lows. I forget what it was like. Oh, Dunk made that post on the My One Black Friend, One White Friend page that was... the Snyder's bringing back Jared Leto's Joker for his cut of Justice League. Yeah. And he's like, yeah, DC is really about riding that boat, aren't they? And I was just like, oh my God, why? But it feels kind of like Zach wants to right all the wrongs.
Yes. I'm really excited for it because I said this from the get-go, you know, he was very he did not want to see his name on that cut, and the way the whole thing happened, I'm just glad, because we may not get the greatest thing, but at least we'll see okay, this is what he meant. Just like, yeah. the Donner cut of Superman 2, so same kind of thing. And I love the Donner cut. I'm so used to the theatrical cut, but I love, you know, what was in the Donner cut. So
yeah, me too.
Anyway, yeah. So
yeah,
cool.
All right. Well, until next time, everyone, stay safe. Wear a mask. We'll talk to you later.
See ya.
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.